Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with two chews a day. Visit RadioBeats, BEETS.com, and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
What up, welcome to the Ball Hawk Show podcast. I'm your host, Amon Hawkins. Appreciate you taking time out today to listen to the latest episode of the show. This is the preview between UVA and the Miami Hurricanes. They're going to clash on Saturday, 3:30, down there at the Hard Rock Stadium that holds 65,000 fans at Miami Gardens, Florida, man. 3:30 p.m. this Saturday as the Wahoos look to continue their winning streak. Two straight victories after starting out 0-5. Got their first ACC win versus North Carolina last week, in which North Carolina was a heavy favorite, 20-plus, ranked in the top 10. And UVA came off the bye week and got the upset victory, while Miami is coming off a victory versus Clemson. They beat them in double overtime, so they improved to 5-2. Both teams are 1-2 in the ACC, and last year they had that thriller of a game where nobody could score, in which Miami won 14-12. It was a 4 overtime game between the Wahoos and the Hurricanes last year. But before we get started, man, as always, got to salute the sponsors. Go to Aber Insurance for all your insurance needs. That's home, business, auto, life insurance. They're great people at Aber. Service in the state of Virginia for over 20 years. If you need an affordable policy and your driving record ain't that good, Aber will definitely take care of you, man. Go to aberinsurance.net. Tell them the Ball Hawk sent you, and they would definitely bless you with a policy that is very affordable for you. And if you want to reach any of my content, as always, go to AmonHawkins.com. But this podcast is definitely located on Believe Network, as you see. So go to the Believe Network, that's BLEAV.com, to find the Ball Hawk Show and plenty of other dope podcasts, man. So let's jump right into it. You know, I don't like the previews to be that long. We're getting right to the business. Give you some storylines for this game. Virginia's coming off their first ever road victory over a AP top 10 opponent as they defeated number 10 North Carolina 31-27 last Saturday in Chapel Hill. The Cavaliers was recognized as the Cheez-It National Team of the Week, and head coach Tony Elliott was named the Bobby Dodd Award Coach of the Week for their historic victory. And look, man, that Cheez-It National Team of the Week Award, it come with Cheez-Its, so I need some Cheez-Its. Let me get some. Me and my household, we like Cheez-Its. So, yo, Coach Elliott, let me get some Cheez-Its, man. I heard they sent a lot of Cheez-Its. Miami is receiving votes in both the AP and the AFCA coaches poll after its 28-20 overtime victory over Clemson last week. Of Virginia's final five opponents, two are nationally ranked. That's Louisville, which is 18 right now, in Duke, and then three have at least 5 wins. Like, so we already talked about early in the year, like, UVA's schedule has been one for the ages. Like, it ain't been an easy schedule, and they've led in pretty much every game except for the Tennessee game, if I'm not mistaken. That's the only game they didn't lead in. Yeah. So, I mean, so realistically, UVA's 2-5. I feel like they should be 5-2 if they knew how to finish. And you got to crawl before you walk. And last week demonstrated that they showed that they can definitely finish because they had to. I was about to say basketball. Salute to Coach Bennett and the basketball team. That's why I said basketball, because they just had their the ACC media day and stuff. But last week, the football gods wanted to make sure that UVA had to finish because Mike Hollins was like right there of getting his fourth touchdown. Iron Mike had three. He was about to get four. The ball just popped out. And then Sackerwood had an opportunity to recover in the end zone. And he lost his footing. And then it went out the back of the end zone. So North Carolina regained possession. So UVA had to get a stop. But, you know, if they didn't want us to earn it that way, it would have been a wrap. So, but that's just what it is, man. It's going to be a tough task this week because Miami poses a different threat compared to what North Carolina posed. So North Carolina had an offense that's very high power. They can run the football. They ran for over 200 yards versus this Miami defense. And I'm going to talk about this Miami defense and why that 200 yards rushing by North Carolina was crazy, because I'm going to let you know their numbers as far as what they do defensively. And then we knew Drake May, you know, Heisman hopeful, one of the top guys as far as like draft picks in this year's upcoming draft if he leaves. So that was going to be a tall task because UVA had a lot of injuries to their defensive line and in the secondary. And, you know, I was wondering, like, how are we going to stop North Carolina? Because it's pick your poison. And it's like, get timely stops, and then I feel like we have a chance to score versus their defense. That was just my theory going into. You go back and check the preview. I said that. But on the flip side with Miami, so I don't know if Van Dyke is playing or not. I know he a little beat up. He got like a lower leg injury. And Brown? Oh, no, it was Emory Williams that got the start, right? Yeah. Who got the start? Was it Brown? Anyway, the backup, whoever start, because on a depth chart, because Miami didn't have game notes. No, that's just freshmen that's in black. That's why I got confused. So I think it was Brown that started last week. But regardless, man, depending on who's starting, if Van Dyke isn't the starter, it looks like Miami will try to look to run the football. But their defense is very stout. They got one of the best defenses in the country as far as rush defense. They're giving up less than 81 yards a game. Think about that. Going into the North Carolina game, nobody ran for over 100 yards versus them as a team. They got back to that versus Clemson. They limited Clemson to like 37, if I'm not mistaken. Let me look at my notes right here. I want to say it was 37 yards versus Clemson. Hold on. Give me a second. I want to make sure I'm accurate. 31, my bad. They held, and Clemson got Shipley. 31 yards rushing. Now, granted, they sacked their quarterback five times, and the sack yards, sack totals count towards the rush totals. But they held Clemson to 31 yards. 31. And Clemson actually fumble again at the goal line. That's been like a theme for Clemson. Against Duke, they fumbled that game away. Salute to Miami. They won this game, but I'm just saying, like, Clemson fumbled. Like, you right there. Like, Shipley's right there, and the ball got punched out. And so I'm not taking that victory away from Miami by any means, so I don't want nobody thinking I'm being a player hater. But Miami offensively, you know, without Van Dyke, they just seem like they just wanted to run the football, let their defense continue to play high caliber, play field position. So it's that old adage, right? Like, what are we going to see from Miami? Because statistically, UVA can't stop the run. So Miami feels like, because Miami's balanced, they top three statistically on offense and defense in different categories. So they're not the typical flash in the pan Miami, you know, with all these athletes. And I mean, they do turn the ball over just like UVA do, but I just want to talk about their defensive front. Because that worries me. What they could do up front with Bain. If y'all look, go look for 44 for Miami. Mr. Hollywood Bain. I mean, Hurricane Bain. I call him Hollywood. Hurricane Bain. I call him Pain. I don't call him Bain. I call him Pain. Man, he like a young Reggie White out there just getting twos about the club. Get over it. Just get out of here. Ain't no fancy moves. He give you a little one of them and then boop, bop me on your head. Get up out of here. So our tackles, y'all, hey, Boley, Chris, y'all better be ready, man, because Bane coming with the pain. Restrepo, their lead receiver number 7, I like him. He's in the slot. He averages 85.7 yards a game. He has 600 yards on the year, 4 touchdowns. Very shifty. That causes me to worry because a lot of times when teams have success in the air versus us, it's in the slot. And their best receiver and most dynamic receiver is in the slot. As a matter of fact, if he's not in the slot and they put Smith in the slot, that joker can flat out fly. So if you see zero on the field, man, listen, high low that. Or if he line up on the outside and you the corner, give him all the cushion he need. But then again, they throw him a quick hitch and he'll try to house it from there because he wanted to lead the kick returners as well. He's very dynamic in the kickoff, on the kickoff team. So make sure you use your grown man strength back there. You know who I'm talking to. You got grown man strength. Make sure you kick it out. Ganyard, kick it out the end zone. Use that grown man strength. Don't let zero. Please don't underkick the ball, man. Please. Don't underkick the ball to zero, bro, and let him come down here and catch that thing. Y'all better get in, stay in your lanes and pray. That joker could fly. But, yeah, man, I couldn't give you, like, a bunch of a roster breakdown because, like I said, they didn't have no game notes at least available when I was recording this for y'all, but I could still go through Miami's overall stats, the tail of the tape, if I could. Hold on. Where is that stat? There we go. All right, man. Here's the statistical matchup between UVA and Miami. They've averaged 36 points a game. We've averaged 23.6. Rushing yards as a team, 1,357 yards. That's 100. That's 193 yards a game. Matter of fact, just give him 194. It's 193.9. That's 194 yards. Oh, my God. Yeah, we got to be, like, real sound at the point of attack. That's a lot of yards a game. 193, not 194. We average 117. That's off back-to-back 200-yard rushing games we had versus Wilmer Murray and North Carolina. They have 12 rushing touchdowns. We have 9. When it comes to the passing game, they average 288. We average 243. So, like I said, a very balanced team. 194 a game, then 288. That's another pick your poison. It's another pick your poison. So here's the thing. If Van Dyke isn't the starter, I'm daring the backup to beat me with their arm. But you got to be sound in coverage like we was last week. Now, granted, Drake May missed some throws, but we were getting him off his spot, making him uncomfortable, speeding up his clock. But they have capable guys that catch the football. They got big receivers. Like, what's his name? Young? He like 6'5", big body, big boy. They got an All-American safety on defense, Cameron Kitchens. I know he's been banged up, but he came back last game, had a pick. We saw a lot of him last year because he wore number 5 last year. I think he wore 20. I forgot what number he wore, but he wore in the 20s. But he was thumping back there. Oh, yeah, I remember him from last year. Matter of fact, he might have had a pick last year. Well, he had a late pass breakup in that game. But yeah, that game last year, man, it was crazy. UVA had a 63 advantage, and then Miami drove 53 yards over the last 5 minutes. So last year's game was pretty much trash can juice. Just be honest with you. Will Betteridge, you know, he going back to the crib. He had four made field goals last year. This year's game is going to be dynamic, though. And look, we don't want to get in the track meet with Miami. So here's the key, because it's just simple. It's just simple. This is how simple this preview is going to be. This ain't going to be long. So check this out. You just came off beating UNC. You up here, right? Everybody recognizing you. You got Des Kitchen, got coordinator of the week, head coach of the week for Coach Elliott. Got team of the week. Got Cheez-Its they trying to fatten you up with. Everybody loving you. You everybody's Cinderella. You know, you messed up everybody's parlay. All the betting folks. So now you're going against Miami. Miami had just lost to Georgia Tech. Then UNC beat them pretty handily. Like UNC ran all over them. Nobody had any success, but UNC did. And we saw that same back had over 100 yards against us last week. But then they playing Clemson, and they beat Clemson with their backup. Very opportunistic. Whether it was stripping them at the end zone or getting a Tony toe tap interception on an errant throw or sacking their quarterback five times. They're letting you know they're not just relying on a flash. You know, we know it's the U, but they ain't relying on the flash. They getting it the old school way. They earning it. They taking it. That was Clemson. Now you got Virginia coming in off this high. So now the question is, with these players and coaches, everybody's been not believing in you, right? You get this win because they seen your ceiling in every game. They seen glimpses of greatness every game. They seen you get leads in every game. And everybody was waiting for you to blow it. And they thought you blew it going into halftime when you allowed UNC to kick a field goal and get the lead. And then you come out in the third quarter in your first possession. You don't score. And then UNC goes down and they score. But you show fight. You show resolve. You had them set up for a field goal in the fourth quarter. And then you end the game with an interception to put the nail in the coffin. So you're celebrating, you're getting all this praise, getting all this pat on the back all week long. Everybody loves you. And you're still a double-digit underdog with Miami. I think it's like 18, maybe 16, something like that. So can you do it again? That's the question. Did you sit back and read the press clippings, as Coach Wells would say, all week long? Was you happy? Was you satisfied that you finally got a signature win? Or do you want to go do it again? But this Miami team different than this Carolina team, because up front, they nasty. Defensively, up front, they nasty. They can send four and just get home. That's the luxury they have. They'll play man-to-man on the back end. They'll play some press. They'll play zone. They'll combo. So they'll trap you in there. They'll pass things off. So will you run some dagger? Will you run some mirror outs to kind of – utilize pre-snap motion again to dictate what the defense is going to be, see where if they're shifting. You got to still stay with that, Des. Got to do a lot of window shopping before the ball. See what the checks are. Help your players understand what calls they're making. Pick up on the calls. We ain't Michigan. We ain't stealing signs. But if you making calls, we listening. You know their objective is to stop four. And one of their best players on the field is in the box where four is going to be at. And they feel like their corners can play press and run with our receivers. They feel like they can win at the line of scrimmage. But again, they have a luxury of only having to drop I mean, send four. When you see 44, every snap, Tony Musket, find 44. Where is he at? Understand. I gotta know where 44 is at. If I'm a back in the backfield, where is 44? I gotta make sure I know where he at. Don't take it for granted. Bring your hind parts with you when it comes to contact stopping Mr. Bain. He ain't the only one. They got more players back there. But, you know, 51, their linebacker, 34 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks and an interception. He's stout. He'll come down here and thump you. Francisco, he'll come down and thump you. They tackle, they hit, they going to talk. But again, you're on the road. You got to score early and often to see if you can take away the momentum of the home field advantage. If Van Dyke is playing, you better believe he's looking for 7. It just is what it is. If Van Dyke is playing, Restrepo is definitely getting the rock. It's like Tom Brady and Wells Welker. 7 is getting the rock if Van Dyke is playing. That's a fact. If 9 is taking a snap, check with 7 at. He going to him, buddy. And that little joker gets, he can play. And he in the slot too, so that means he going to be on, it's either going to be Tay or it's going to be Jonas Anker. Telling y'all, bro, he nice. Tackle. Take away explosive plays. We get in the red zone, they throwing it up to Young. Jump ball. All that fails, if you checking 4, you better make sure you got control of that inside hip so you can look and lean. Because they're going to throw it up to him. Just because you even don't mean they ain't going to throw it to Young. And he go get the ball. He's 6'5". He every bit of 6'5". Ain't going to be nothing too fancy. Just going to throw it up there and go get it. As far as their running backs, 21 Paris leads them in rushing yards. He has one less carry than Chaney. He has 72 carries. He averages 6.3 yards per rush, has 4 touchdowns, averages 75 rushing yards a game. Then Chaney averages 56 a game. He averages 5.1 yards per rush, has 375 rushes. And then Allen has 47 rushes for 215 yards, 4.6 yards per rush, 3 touchdowns, averaging 35. And then they also put Smith at running back last game because he had a long run and he fumbled. And then they recovered it. But he was hitting feet. So you'll see him at receiver. You can see him in the backfield. He definitely returned kicks. So I hope we do kick off to him a lot. That means we score. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully we got a lot of opportunities to kick it out the end zone because that means we score. But I don't want him to catch it short and show that dynamic speed he got. But yo, this is a legit team. I mean, more than legit team. This is a very good football team. Very good football team. I know last year's game was very ugly. And if you could make it ugly, if you could slow the game, because in order to make it ugly and slow the game down, you got to be able to what? Run the football. And that's one thing they daring you to try to do. I dare you, because they're going to play some press on the outside. They dare you to run. 81 yards. So North Carolina run for what? Close to 200 yards. I don't know how. I know they ran for a lot. They ran over 100. Nobody had ran over 100. I think North Carolina got close to 200. As a matter of fact, North Carolina probably, I think they did run for 200. If I'm looking at my notes from last week, I think they did run for 200 as a team. And they bounced back versus Clemson versus Shipley, who's a very good running back in his own right. And you limit them to 31 yards as a team? The second play of the game, they were hitting. They tried to give it to Shipley. It was a 2-yard loss. Like, they took it upon themselves to say, no, sir, we ain't like, nah. Don't get it twisted. You ain't North Carolina. So just think, if you're looking at Virginia's last two games, they ran for over 200 yards as a team both games. Matter of fact, the Hurricanes have allowed 79.6 rushing yards per game this season. So, I'm going to correct myself because I just looked at more notes. And the reason why UVA has been successful, because they've been able to play complementary football. Not that they balance that it's this many pass plays and this many run plays. Complementary means, hey, we can do either or, and you don't know what's coming. When people think of balance, they usually look at play totals. Just like my recap, I was like, nah, we want balance. I just felt like we just ran in at Carolina. I really did. I mean, we had like the fourth down pass play to Sackett Wood that was short that ended up being a longer than the wheel route to Sackett Wood. But other than that, we didn't really push the ball up the field. We controlled the line of scrimmage by running the football, dominating time of possession. And then Miami's one of the better teams at time of possession as well. How come? Because they averaged 194 yards rushing the game. So they could play keep away as well. So think about this. Miami can run the football. They can also pass the football. They can score. Then what they do is they make you one-dimensional. Because they tell you, you ain't running the ball. Now you got to come see me and throw the ball. And when you throw the ball, they give us more opportunities to unleash Mr. Bane on you, who's looking for Batman. I was born in the dark. What Bane say to Batman? You know what he said. So here's my keys to victory, man. Continue to play complimentary football. Hat on hat, you got to win the line of scrimmage consistently. If you're going to pass the football, move. Meaning, do not allow your quarterback to be in the same spot. Whether it's rollouts, sprint outs, continue to use RPO looks, continue to use pre-snap motions. If you're a lineman and you're pulling, don't pass up an opposite jersey no matter what. Backs, be patient. Utilize your vision. Get north and south. Tony Musket is the key, in my opinion. Again, if Tony Musket is being aggressive and getting north and south, putting his foot in the ground and going upfield, which he did in the second half versus Carolina, this offense becomes that much more dynamic because linebackers now have to pay attention and then those middle dig area windows are open. Now that opens up everything for Malik Washington, for Malachi Fields, for Sackett Wood, for Grant, you know, our tight ends. And then like a Dakota Twitty or JR or Jaden Gibson. Like, it's going to take another third receiver that people usually don't talk about. We know Malachi, we know Malik. Who's going to be that third guy this week? Last week, it was Sackett. The backs did a good job of running the football, whether it was Mike, whether it was Paris, even Kobe. But then you had that equalizer and Tony Musket. But Dez has to continue to keep defenses off balance, allow his offensive line to get ingrained in what they want to do in the game. Don't continue to sit Musket back there as a sitting duck. Let him move around. But I did like how we used the cross block action and the RPOs and the little Zen motions. That's dope because that's causing the defensive eyes to have to relocate and look versus just being downhill on the quarterback. And if you're utilizing motion with Malik and they're playing man, somebody's trailing. So we use a little flip pass to him. Boom. That DB's trailing. And if you fake it to him, you may open up a window that they're vacating. Play action can definitely be key, but with play action, you need protection. Play action is all fine and well, but if you can't protect, and if you can't run, the play action is moot. You know what I mean. It's non-existent. Defensively, Coach Rudd, continue to run the games that you've been running. You ran last game. I really think the juggernaut, Jameer Carter and Fumui did a phenomenal job with just their get off, playing with their hands, being active, not settling. Ben Smiley. And then I told you guys, Chico Bennett looked like Chico from last year, like he was fully healthy. His motor was exceptional. Exceptional. Akire, we saw what he did to get to Drake May late in the game. But those guys played really well together. They were very sound. They understood their run fits. They trusted their brother would be there. Cam Robinson is phenomenal as a young back linebacker. James Johnson, those are two athletic beings playing linebacker. That's like old school, man. That's like getting back to like the Amar Brooks and them, or the Wally Rainers and the Skeets and the Potsies and the Sharpers. Like, ooh, that give me goosebumps seeing those type of backers back there, just athletic and running around. You just an athlete, and you can tackle in space, and then I can headbutt you if it's legal. Corners be very sound. Corners. Westfall, King, let me tell you something. Make sure you don't get beat deep. Keep everything in front of you. Okay? Make them impatient. They complete something in front of you, make the tackle. Make them line up again. Make them execute again. What you never want to do versus Miami is give up an explosive play, because it turns into a hurricane down there. It starts to rain a lot. And they start dancing and putting on gold necklaces and gold teeth and rings and stuff. And they feel it themselves, and they get that swagger going. And then Trick Daddy and Rick Ross and all their music start playing, and you're done. It's going to be 85 degrees down there. And why, it's been 40 degrees in the morning here in Charlottesville. So they're going to try to turn the heat up on you. Stay back. Don't look back. If you're not even with them, don't look back. Tackle them. Make them line up again. All seriousness. I'm telling y'all, if Van Dyke start, find seven. He going to seven. And he's a good route runner. That little buddy could go. I like him. That's a lot of keys, but we like a janitor. We need all the keys to open every and lock every door. So that's all I got for y'all, man. Wahoos, you got another tough task. But now you have to learn how to play with expectations. Now people expect you to have the same showing you have versus Carolina, to prove to them that it was not a fluke, because they saw glimpse, and then they saw whole. Or they saw whole, like they saw the sweet preview games before, and then when they saw the movie, it was eh. Now you gave them a great preview and then a really good movie, and now it's the sequel. They want to see it again. No, they actually want to go back and watch the same movie. We ain't talking about, because a lot of sequels, unless it's Rockies, ain't really good, you know, or Bad Boys with Martin and Will Smith. But you get what I'm saying. So now, can you learn to win with expectations attached to you? This is going to be the test, because this is a really good team. Both of y'all 1-2 in the ACC. I know the records are flipped. They 5-2 and you 2-5. But in your league play, you're both 1-2. And you beat a team that beat them. Aha. So in theory, to all the folks who love to use that, in theory, UVA should beat Miami, right? Wrong. It don't work like that. It's the reason you play the game. Hello. But with that being said, man, that's all I got for y'all for the preview, man. Make sure you go to Believe Network. Share the podcast. Also, you could go to Apple Podcasts, leave a review, leave some stars, go to Spotify, tell me what you think of the episode. I'll make sure I publish that. Go to AmarHawkins.com if you want to look at any of my content. Also, subscribe to the YouTube channel, The Ball Hawk Show Podcast 2.0. And follow me on the X app, man, at IamBallHawk. And it's Amar Hawkins on Facebook. Until next time, man, good is the enemy of great. Be great in everything that you do. Never let nobody tell you you can't do what you set your mind out to do, man. We out of here. Wahoo, wahoo. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.